So we're very excited to be doing our first ever podcast of Contagious Kindness. Contagious Kindness is a podcast for people interested in community, generosity, and good sorts doing great things. This podcast is brought to you by Give Better, a growing community of Kiwis discovering how to give more, save more, and learn more. My name is Anna Cusack, and I work for an NGO in policy and advocacy, and this is Lauren.
Hi, I am Lauren Sanderson. I'm a freelance writer. I work in marketing and copywriting for a baby sleep company.
Cool, and we're so stoked to bring today's episode to you. We had the privilege of interviewing Chris. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about Chris and his background?
Yeah, so Chris Farrelly is currently the Chief Executive Officer at Auckland City Mission, so we're really excited to speak to him. He's worked in a number of health and social service organisations and programmes across Asia, Australia and New Zealand. So today we're going to be discussing with him a number of things of what they've been doing during lockdown and out of lockdown with Auckland City Mission.
Yeah, and as a little announcement before we get into it, we're very excited that this year is the centenary for the Auckland City Mission, which is a huge congratulations to them and all the amazing work they've been doing over the last 100 years.
Yeah, let's get started then.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for being here with us. Could you tell us a little bit about how your lockdown period was and how work was during that time?
Kia ora korua, kia ora whanau. The lockdown seems to me a long, long time ago. It could many, many months ago. It's been so intense since. I think we, like everybody, had a couple of days' notice. And what we knew was that we would be called to respond. We knew immediately that we weren't going to shut our doors. We weren't going to batten down the hatches. We would have to come out as never before. And so we made that call that we would be an essential service, that we would do whatever it took to care for the people who are most desperate, who are most vulnerable in our city. And we didn't really know what that meant at that time. If you remember, on March the 25th, there was modelling around that showed that many, 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 many of us were going to get very ill, and probably the most at risk were the poorest, and perhaps including the people we serve, our street homeless and those. So we were ready to be there. We made the call to respond. So that was on the 25th of March. And from that day until today, we've had 95 or so frontline staff on duty during that period. And the other, about another 60 staff working from home. Many, for about 20 initially, they had to leave their own homes, their own families, and their own life so that they could work at the mission. And so they came into motels. We housed these people in motels so that they could do the work because they were unable to go home. There was vulnerability at home. The family situation didn't allow that. So that was a great deal of sacrifice and commitment and giving on their part. And that's the way we started the lockdown. And that spirit of utter giving and generosity just continued right throughout.
Wow, that's amazing. And what you've just touched upon then is extremely heartwarming. Was there any other examples or anything else you saw or experienced during lockdown that was heartwarming or brought a smile to your face?
Look, I smiled a lot, frankly. A few tears some days. I think on those very early days, we were all told, go home, isolate at home, be safe at home. And suddenly home became quite important for us all. But of course, what happens when you don't have a home to be safe in, to isolate in, to be cared for in? So it immediately highlighted the actual plight of the homeless. And what we called immediately out that this could not happen. We had to care for these people. And immediately the government responded with incredible speed to help us house all those who were homeless. And what we've been trying to do for years and years and years is that at least provide some form of shelter for people. It just happened overnight, and motels were opened up. Hundreds and hundreds of motel units were opened up so that in those first few days we could move people into these motels. Now, some of these people had been on our streets for 20 plus years. So you can imagine them going to a place where they had a bed, where they had a shower, where they could lock the door and nobody was going to hassle them, where they had somebody daily coming in to check how they were, when we had food delivered to them daily, good nutritional food. Can you imagine what that meant?
Mm-hmm.
For most people, it gave them a peace and a kind of a space that they had not had. For a few people, it was really unnerving, remembering that many of these people, most of these people, in fact, have significant health issues, physically unwell, mentally unwell, addiction issues and the like. So what brought a smile to my face is to see some of these people actually go indoors. They had been afraid to go indoors or for different reasons had not. And over those few days, the streets were pretty much cleared of many of our street homeless. And then what we began to see was they began to relax and change. You know, there's a myth around that people don't want to be housed, people want to be homeless. Well, that's not true. When people actually experience what a home is or what shelter is, of course you want to stay in that place. And we saw that. So that brought a smile to us.
That's amazing. It's incredible. No,
it was quite beautiful, really. It's like something emerging. You know, we're in the midst of a major crisis, a lot of fear and anxiety in our community. Really, we all were, when you think of it. We didn't know what was happening. And yet quietly in the midst of this, there were little flowers blooming, flowers that some of our most vulnerable people were being really cared for in a very precious way throughout the country.
Yeah.
This involved our social workers particularly going out and visiting them every day and being with them. And the problem was we just didn't have enough staff. So we put out a call. We said, look, anybody in Auckland who might have some training or expertise in this area, can you come and help us? And a number of volunteers came, and one organisation gave us 8 social workers during that period of time. Another organisation gave us about 10 vehicles so that we could go around and do all the visiting. So suddenly we felt this immense support from behind, from a whole community. So we knew we were never alone, and we knew that we had a whole community behind us to do this work.
Incredible. And obviously you've been, as you said, extremely busy in getting everybody on board. Was there a change when going into level 2 then?
Not really. Remember, we never closed, so we didn't have to open. We just continued. I think the big closure for us was we have a very big dining facility where we provide about 300 meals a day. People come in, sit down. These are homeless people, people who are living in boarding houses without any cooking facilities and the like. So we do a big breakfast and a big lunch. And it's a communal space, and we had to close that. And we had to just give out takeaway meals. And so instead of coming in, people just come in. So just even today, it's still happening. Come in, they pick up their takeaways. There's a hot meal and a cold meal, and they take them off. So now we're going to be able to reinstate the dining facility, hopefully, next week. But as a whole, no, nothing changed. But there was a fear started to emerge in our mind. This is really important. Our fear has been that once we move into level 2 or level 1, we're out of it altogether, that once again we'll put these people, or these people will have to go back to sleeping on the streets. You know, the crisis is over, so now you go back to where you were. And we knew we could never go back to that space. We crossed the line. Ethically, morally, injustice. You can't say, well, sorry, the crisis is over. Go back now, it's the winter, and don't get wet and cold. What level 2 has done is now put before us the challenge of permanently housing these people.
It's really awesome to hear some of the work that you've been doing at the moment, but we'd love to also hear an overview of what your work looks like on the everyday and also how they work with other city missions across the country.
The Auckland City Mission, our focus has been on those, to be with those, to walk with those who are in most desperate need, whoever they may be on any given day. And they change. So there's a lot of homeless people. So homelessness has been a big focus of ours. Some of these are long-term homeless people. Some of them are short-term homeless. What we've noticed of recent time is that we have an increasing number of women who are homeless on our streets. So about 25% of our homeless community in Auckland are women. And we know we work in relationship with our homeless community. We're not just a service provider, we work in a relationship. And we know that without exception, all these women have suffered incredible trauma in their lives and tremendous amount of abuse. So with homelessness in all its guises, these days a lot of people have been expelled from Australia and they're just given a ticket to New Zealand and they become homeless. So homelessness, the next thing that is our focus is hunger or food insecurity. We're a very large distributor of emergency food in New Zealand, and we've seen the need for emergency food grow and grow and grow year upon year of recent years, so much so that we've done some deep research and we know that about 10% of our population are unable to provide on a daily basis the nutritional food they need. They go hungry. And we know that that has doubled during the time of the COVID crisis. So perhaps now close to 1 in 5 of our population are food insecure. So we're working in that space. Yes, we give out food at a great, great amount, but we're trying to also ask the question and address the issue of why are people, what's gone wrong? Why in a country that produces so much wonderful food are there so many people hungry? What's the issue here? And the answer is not providing just food parcels. That's not the answer. The answer has to go back to why are people there in the first instance? And it comes down to a complex series of things like just income. The income that people receive today can't match the expenditure when you pay rent, etc. There are other issues as well around mental health that also compound the situation. So that's our second space. And our third area of focus is health. When you don't have shelter, when you don't have the right food, what happens to you? You become sick. So we actually have a major service providing healthcare for the most vulnerable in our city. And the other part of that is we have a detox facility. So half the alcohol and drug detox beds in Auckland are run by the Auckland City Mission. So.
Wow, that's amazing. And you obviously touched upon your pillars there. So you've got homelessness, hunger and health. But how is the City Mission currently doing in response to COVID? And how long do you think that would be going on for?
Well, two major pieces of work as a response to COVID. One is that the 250 people that we are looking after who are in emergency housing, we have to now move them to permanent housing. The answer is not in temporary emergency accommodation. Everyone deserves a home, and we know this is what the philosophy of housing first is, a permanent home. So our focus now in the next 6 months will be to try and move them to permanent housing. I guess the other focus post-COVID will be it's the whole issue of hunger, and we know that in the next 6 months or a year, there's going to be a huge need for emergency food. During this crisis, I have to say, we saw generosity. We saw growers and suppliers and manufacturers, distributors, all coming to us with massive amounts, volumes of food. So the issue of removing food waste and distributing our food to population is something we and other organisations will be working on in the next number of months. You mentioned the other city missions, that's Christchurch and Wellington. They're doing exactly the same thing. We work closely with them, but we also work very closely with other organisations like the Salvation Army and other NGOs. There was a day when in the sector in New Zealand, people were very isolated. And the great thing about the current time, and particularly during COVID, you know, that all disappeared and we just got in and worked together. So I think there's real possibility in our country, organisations like ours, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and we can do a lot more together, and we're doing that. So that gives me a lot of hope moving forward.
And so we've heard a little bit about some of the challenges during the COVID-19 period. If there were some standouts, what do you find the greatest challenge, but also the greatest success or most rewarding thing that you got to be a part of and make happen?
There's little things and there are big things, but to be honest. Just out behind me there through that door, there have been 4 people on the phones for 60 days, just picking up calls for help. And so the fact that this is a place where people could call in and get a response has been really, really great. And I've heard the tears that have come and the gratitude that has come as a result of that. But I think what I have seen that really, really I want to highlight here is the spirit that is in our country, that in this time of great crisis, we've seen great generosity. And the mission is very lucky. We see great hardship, but we also see the best of our country. And last night, I spent 2 or 3 hours writing letters to people who just donate to us. Some of the donations are $5, $10, $20. Some are $1,000. Some even are $20,000. This is like a heartbeat in our country. As I write, I say thank you. But maybe even through this mechanism, I can actually genuinely say to the people who just reach out, you know, thank you, thank you. Three, when we moved into level, I don't know, three, I think we were able to get takeaways for the first time. And I went down to a local place and got some pasta. And this woman was also waiting, got talking. And I said, oh, where do you work? And she said, I work in the hospital. So she was a hospital worker. And she said, where do you work? I said, Auckland City Mission. Oh, she said, just looked at me. She went into her pocket and pulled out $100, $250 notes. Please take them. To me, that was incredible. And it was just a symbol of something that just pumps away in our community. We have now one of the biggest mountains to climb in the next 6 months with what's going to come down our pipeline. Mm-hmm. And it will require the best of us and the most generous of us to get through this.
That's awesome. So moving on to the fact that the City Mission have got a 100-year anniversary coming up this year, which is pretty exciting. It's amazing. Do you want to just tell us a little bit more about that? It's a great achievement.
It is. 100 years doing this kind of work. On the 6th of June 1920, when Auckland was just coming out of the Spanish flu that had killed so many thousands of people in just 3 months, the place was a mess. We'd just come out of the First World War, where we'd lost so many men, and we had fatherless families, a lot of men who had PTSD, and no social welfare at all. The city was a mess. The mission was founded to work in that space for the most desperate in the most desperate times. And so 100 years ago, it's quite ironical, here we are 100 years later in another challenging time. So we've, over the period, over those 100 years, we've always been there where people are most marginalised and most on the edge. So for 100 years, we've been in that space. And, I think hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in the city have been touched by the city mission in one form or another. We are Auckland's mission to those in desperate need. So the celebration of our 100 years, there'll be no big party, no big gala event. It'll be a quiet event. There'll be a couple of small events during the year to remember. The biggest thing for us is we are building a new building. We've demolished our old building, and we're building a building that will have 80 units for the housing, for the homeless. It will have 25 detox units. It will have a massive medical facility, training facilities, dining facilities. It's a major project, and it's called Mission Home Ground. It's a home in so many ways. And that's our 100th year project. We're doing something for the next generation, building on what's been done for us and with us over the last 100 years. So that's all happening over the next few weeks as we move into our 100th year, 101st year.
Wow, that's amazing and so exciting. I'm sure you must be reflecting on the last 100 years. Is there something in particular that stands out that you're particularly proud of that has been achieved over the last 100 years?
Look, I think there would be so many stories we were proud of. I'll just give you two examples. Where we are now temporarily, there was a big slum in Freeman's Bay, which had elder people in it. It was just where the old people of Auckland lived. They had no sewage, no water. They were in tin sheds. And the mission made a decision to establish New Zealand's first village for older people. We called it the Selwyn Village. And it was on 24 acres over in Point Chevalier. And that was really the first of this kind of village for older people. It got so big and they became so big, we cut that all from the mission some years later. But basically, we saw a need, we did something about it, and we moved. Then in the 80s, we had a situation in Auckland where people were dying of AIDS and were not being cared for. There was so much discrimination against people with HIV/AIDS, and that the system did not care appropriately. So we established New Zealand's first AIDS hospice, and we ran that for a decade until the system changed, legislation changed, discrimination was made illegal, and we were able to step away from that. So what I think I'm proud about is that if there's something now, we will respond now as quickly as we can, and we'll move. We'll be agile enough to do that. So the needs of COVID are forcing us or challenging us to respond in a different way. What I'm most proud about, though, and this is the people who work with us, that's our staff, our hundreds of volunteers and our donors. So it's a big, big family of care, and that warms my heart. And I'm just so privileged to be in the position I am, to have contact with so many of them, to know so much of this, and to see the goodness that is in our country and the kindness that pumps away.
Talking about the goodness of the country, how can New Zealanders then support the city mission? If anybody else wants to get involved, or if anybody wants to receive any support as well on the opposite side, how can they achieve that?
For 100 years, the door of the city mission has opened every single day. We don't know who'll come through that door, but it's down there, it's open. That door could not open on a given day if it wasn't for generous people. We depend on the generosity of Auckland. So what people do give us is so important. And it, as I said before, it can be big or small. In fact, actually, the more people who give small, the more it makes the whole, work well. So we do ask the population of the city, this wonderful city, to continue to support us. Our byline is Aucklanders helping Aucklanders. That's what we do. So that's number one. And there's all sorts of ways people do this in different times. Volunteers are important to us as well. We have a lot of volunteers, and people just come and they say, what can we do for you? And there's all sorts of ways a person can volunteer here at the mission. And that's a growing area. They bring their gifts and their experience. We don't exist in isolation from the community, and we need the community unashamedly. We are so connected. We are Auckland's conscience, we're Auckland's heart, and we're Auckland's hands. So together we do this.
And looking forward, what's the vision for what New Zealand and Auckland could be becoming?
Well, a couple of things. We want homelessness to end in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. We play our part, and others are playing their part as well. So together, with this whole community, other organisations, government, council and others, we must end homelessness in this country. At most, it must be rare, it must be brief, it must be non-reoccurring. That's the challenge for New Zealand. New Zealanders want that. Unlike other countries in the world where you see homelessness as the norm, this is the way big cities operate, expect that. That's not our life. Every single person is precious. And we know that most of our homeless people have been incredibly traumatised by something else in their life. And if you knew their stories, you'd pick them up and hold them and care for them as well. What you see is not what has happened in their lives, if you knew the stories. So know the stories, do not judge, let's end homelessness. We're doing that by building a major facility as part of that, but that's only just part of that. We will open that in the next 12 months, and together with others, we're going to be part of contributing to ending homelessness. And of course, now we have hunger on our horizon as well. And we'll be working in that food insecurity place over the next few years.
Fantastic. And just to end, is there anything that's happened in the last week that has made you smile?
What's happening in the last week is that there are people that I have not seen in the flesh for 9-10 weeks are emerging and coming back. And it's just a lovely thing to be reconnected. The mission has done a Zoom meeting with everybody once a week. So we all come in, about 150 of us, and we meet via Zoom. But now actually to see people in the flesh again and to just see their spirit, it's made me smile. So I'm welcoming people back to continue our work.
A few years ago, I popped in and dropped off some food. And if anyone else is in that position, maybe they got a lot of food during lockdown and they have leftover cans or anything like that, are people able to drop off things like that as well?
Oh, yeah, thank you for that. Particularly the non-perishable food, you know, that's, you know, like cans and those things. So we have a big a distribution centre, like a warehouse facility, where all the food comes into, and it's in Grafton, in Auckland, just off Khyber Pass, in 15 Auburn Street, so it's easy to find. And that's probably the best place to drop off those kind of things. That's a very good point. I think people will have a lot of leftover cans and things like rice, and, you know, they were preparing, hunkering down. So it would be a tragedy if it all went, you know, out to the waste in the future. So, yes, directed in our direction. That would be fantastic.
Fantastic. And is there anything in particular that you're needing dropped off at the moment?
No, look, remember, we're coming into winter. Like in the old days, we just any food was good food. But I think we're beginning to understand now there is food and food. And so we try and make a food parcel as nutritious as possible, type of thing that you and I would like in ours. Baked beans occasionally are okay, or spaghetti occasionally are okay, but we want to do other things as well. And so this is where like canned fish and tuna and protein can be really, really important.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for all you are doing and all your amazing staff are doing. It's incredible, and we so, so appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, listen, Anne, you've got the Wellington City Mission to pop into someday and say hello to them. Lauren, please pop around. Have you ever been here? Do you know where we are?
No, actually, I don't. I don't know where you are. I need to come and pop in.
Please. Normally, we're in Hobson Street, just next to Sky City. That's where we are rebuilding. And we're in Union Street, which is not far from there. So please pop in if you're passing by.
Thanks so much, Chris, for taking the time to be part of our podcast. It's been wonderful hearing all the amazing work that you guys are doing at City Mission.
Special thank you also to all the amazing staff that have worked so hard. It was incredible hearing about the amount of time and sacrifice people have put in and how hard people have been working to make sure those who have been struggling during lockdown had people who had their back and could support them. I also really loved hearing more about the work that they do in the community and in the areas of health and hunger and housing. And I am looking forward to hearing more about what happens in the housing space. It was really incredible to be hearing more about the number of people who did get a safe home during lockdown and how impactful that really is.
And how it's going to move on going forward. Mm-hmm. It's not really like a step backwards. How that's just going to keep progressing, which is amazing.
I was also thinking lockdown feels like a while ago now, thinking what actually does change, because during lockdown we were discussing how things have to change as a result of this, we have to learn from it, but actually thinking what has changed and how are things progressing. But also I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who donates to the City Mission, both in Auckland and around the country. So there's a City Mission in Wellington and one in Christchurch as well. So a huge thank you to everyone who donates, and we would love to encourage people to donate to this incredible work.
And if you want to get involved, then we're going to pop the link into the description box for Auckland City Mission. So if you want to get involved, just find out everything on their website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening to our first podcast.
Thanks, guys.